tell you what, I hope you listen to the words of the songs. I tell you, what we've heard already this morning should make us to shout and sing and glory to God. I tell you, you realize that's what we're going to do forever in heaven, giving praise unto the Lamb of God. You know, it's some of you, I know you think, well, I can't sing, Pastor. Let me tell you something. In heaven, we're going to have the most beautiful voices, and we're going to praise the Lamb of God forever. Amen? Amen. I tell you, praise the Lord. And I love hearing my choir sing. I love hearing our children sing. I hope you enjoyed that. That just blessed my heart today. And we'll have an encore of that particular song tonight. But we must never forget what this day is all about. You know, if you will allude to it in just a moment, but if Jesus never rose from the dead, we just ought to just go ahead and leave right now. Just go do what we want to do today. Boy, this is a very, very important day, and I hope that we recognize it as such. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 responsively, and I know we're a little behind schedule this morning. I have a lot here, and I hope you'll give me a good hearing. I have a lot I want to try to get out this morning. I hope I can help you. Of course, there'll be a reflective message on a day like this. We think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so we'll be kind of reflecting upon the cross and the resurrection here along the way. But Luke chapter 24, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, and we'll read responsively verses 1 through 12. I'll read, and then you read, and so forth. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he is saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for this book. Lord, we thank you for this church. I thank you for the dear families and the children and the teenagers and all that we've heard this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd use this message today, Lord. I pray to God that you'd use your servant here. Pray, God, that you fall upon every heart. May we be mindful of what this day is all about. May we leave here perhaps desiring more as a Christian to serve you more. And if we're here today, we don't know you as Savior. I pray, God, today may be the day. I pray, Holy Spirit, you just work in hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to speak to you on the subject, Oh, What a Morning. Our Bibles are filled with passages about the morning. Just to name a few, we're told our Savior prayed early in the morning. Joshua in the Old Testament is pictured as a leader who rose up early in the morning. I think of the morning of in Genesis 22 where Abraham rose up early. God had gone ahead and told him to take his only son Isaac and go up on Mount Moriah. And I think of that passage where he rose up early and took Isaac on Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. It was quite a morning for Jacob, who awakened from sleep in the morning to set up a pillar of stones in honor of God at Bethel. What a morning it must have been for Daniel when he saw the early morning rays of sunlight in the city of Babylon after spending the night in the lion's den. I can well imagine that the morning was beautiful to the eyes of the disciples after they spent a terrible night in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. These, and there's many more great mornings mentioned in the Bible, but that's just to name a few. But none of these mornings that I mentioned just a moment ago are near as wonderful as the morning that we read about just a moment ago. This was the kind of morning that would change eternity. It was an awesome morning. It would change all of eternity for all of mankind. Had this morning not happened the way it did, we'd all this morning be hopelessly lost. Boy, I thank God for this particular morning. I thank God. Oh, it's nice to read about them other stories and how Jesus rose in the morning and prayed. And Joshua, he rose up early in the morning. And in Genesis 22, Abraham rose up early to go up onto Mount Moriah and obey God and his command. I think of the mornings, but no morning is quite as great as the one we read about a moment ago. This morning, I want to spend some time talking about that glorious morning when Jesus, he conquered death, he conquered hell and the grave forever. There's not been a morning like it, and there will never, ever, in this life, ever be another morning like it. What a glorious morning it was when Jesus rose. What a morning it was when he pulled the stinger of death and gave eternal life to all who will place their faith in him. What a morning. Join me as we journey briefly this morning as we talk about what a morning. Oh, what a morning. It was, number one, a morning of solemn reflections. In verse number one, let me just read here. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Very, very dark morning for this particular crowd, these ladies that came to the sepulchre and so forth. Very, very emotional morning, if you will. As morning began to break this particular day, the first day of the week after Jesus died, some ladies came by. They wanted to pay their respects to Jesus there in the tomb and finish the anointing of the body of Christ for his burial. You see, the anointing process began back in John chapter 19 with Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. They started it on the day that our Lord died. But while the ladies were heading to the tomb, okay, think about this, picture it in your mind, if you will. I can see the sadness, if you will. I'm going to use the mic here, walk around, because I need, well, this came apart, so we won't use that mic, all right? So hopefully we'll use a mic, the red mic right. Amen. Can you hear me? There we go. Okay, good. And I can see these ladies, the turmoil in their hearts and them being down and so forth. And they came to the tomb and they wanted to go ahead and pay respects to Jesus. They were going to go ahead and anoint him for the burial and so forth. The anointing process began, as I mentioned, back in John chapter 19 with these two men. And while these ladies, they were going to the tomb, they wanted to go see Jesus, if you will. I don't think they thought about the tomb, the stone being there. I don't think they thought of everything. You think about when you have a heavy heart, you don't think about everything, do you? You know, you don't think, I'm sure they just didn't think about, oh, what about the stone, you know, and whatever the case may be. But you know what? The important thing is they wanted to go pay respects to their Savior. They just, if anything, wanted to be close to him. You know, the one that had given them life and now he's gone. You know, I can just imagine how distraught they were. But while they were heading to the tomb, the Lord's disciples, they were locked in the upper room for fear of the same kind of death that Jesus went through. I think of them emotions. I think of the tears amongst Jesus' people and the disciples and these ladies. I think of the emotional being distraught. I think of the sadness. I think of how the disciples, they were certainly fearful for death, if you will. Why were they so upset? They had believed that Jesus was to be the Messiah. They placed their faith and trusted him and expected him to set up his kingdom. And even though Christ had told them of the cross, they just didn't grasp that message. You know, they were, you know, I don't know, boy, what a joy it must have been to serve at the feet of Jesus, be called, handpicked as one of his disciples, and Mary Magdalene and all the wonderful background of her and how she came to Jesus Christ and all these people that surround us, the tombstone, the resurrection day, if you will. You know, all the emotions, you know what, they trusted him. They thought him to be the Messiah. They expected him to set up his kingdom. And he had already told them, this is what's going to happen to me. He had told them, but they just didn't go ahead and grasp the message or the meaning of his words. I can understand. You know, at the feet of Jesus, boy, that was the happiest time of their life. You know, sometimes when things are going well, not everything always sinks in. You know what I mean? But they just didn't grasp it. Now, their Savior, their Messiah, whom they thought was to be the Messiah, was dead. Now he's gone. And now it's like, what do we do now? Surely their faith had been shaken. Our faith has been too, amen? You know, probably all of us here today, you know, because of something, you know, some word or something someone says, you got to be very careful what you listen to, amen, that comes across the box. You know what? You can go ahead and turn on the TV and all them religious channels, and by the end of the day, that's all you watch all day long, by the end of the day, you're going to be so confused. And you know, you better be careful of that. Because you know what? That'll shape your faith. That'll shape the faith that, God has given you through Jesus Christ. But now he's dead. Surely their faith was shaken. The only, the one they had placed their faith in was gone. The hope, if you will, seemed to be gone. This man whom they grew to love and who had changed their lives in a big way by his power and had demonstrated that love and the power of God died a violent, humiliating death. I can see why they were grieving. Surely it was a sad day. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen the compassion of Christ. They'd seen his mercy. They'd seen his grace. They'd seen the healings and the different things that he did in his earthly ministry. Now I am sure to them, all hope is gone. What do we do now? He's gone. As I think about the sadness of the disciples, I can understand their grief. They were perhaps the closest people to Christ. They got to serve him. And oh, how they loved him. And oh, how Christ love them. Paul spoke about it. If you want to turn to it, you can. But Paul spoke about this grief, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says, I'll read a few verses starting with verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. You know, Paul talks about if Jesus were dead this morning, then we all, by the way, have a reason to grieve. You know what? The disciples felt the same right there. I can understand their grief, if you will. They thought, man, Christ is dead. They were grieving. They were upset. Paul tells us that if Christ were dead, we all had a reason to grieve. You know, there'd be no sense in us being here to sit under the preaching this morning, Sunday after Sunday. There'd be no sense in being here in church this morning had Christ not risen from the dead. There'd be no sense in teaching that Sunday school class had Christ not risen from the dead. There'd be no sense in being a member of an independent Bible-believing Baptist church had Christ not risen from the dead. There'd be no sense in teaching the Bible. There'd be no sense in riding a bus. There'd be no sense in teaching your children for the Lord, in admonition of the Lord, had Christ not risen from the dead. Hey, you know what? This would just be another book had he not just risen from the dead. But we have the book this morning. We'd all be headed for hell if he did not rise from the dead. Our hope would be gone, and this life would be miserable, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. It would be miserable had he not done what he promised. Had he not risen, boy, it would be miserable. I can understand the disciples grieving. I can understand the ladies grieving. I can understand their grief. For had he not risen from the dead as he said, our hope would be gone. It was a morning of solemn reflections. It was a morning of startling revelations. We'll read perhaps through this verses 2 through 12 as we go. But in the midst of their sorrow, we see that God the Father had been busy behind the scenes. Picking up through verse 2, let's read on. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I can see the perplexity here. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. So they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Boy, that statement says it all. Hey, why are you searching for a dead man? Hey, he's alive. He's alive here. He is not here, verse number 6. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. See, he went ahead and told you, and then they remembered his words, verse number 8. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They go back and they tell the other 11, they tell the apostles, if you will, what had happened. And it was just like, this is unbelievable. What? Are you ladies, listen, ladies, you've had a tough couple days. Are you sure? Are you positive? You know, and the Bible says, then arose Peter, because they believed him not, verse 11, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which would come to pass. It was a morning of startling revelations. I can see they were shocked, and then they go back and they tell the apostles. They were shocked too. Everybody was shocked in the midst of their sorrow. We could see that God the Father was behind the scenes, very busy, very busy. He went to great lengths to minister to the needs of their heavy hearts. We're going to see this along the way. You know, but I want to stop and say this. I thank God. I thank God today that I serve a living Savior. I thank God today that He cares deeply about my hurts. Doesn't matter what position I'm in, where I am financially, how I am health-wise, where I am as far as my bank account or what car I drive. I thank God today He cares about my hurts and troubles. I thank God He does not leave us comfortless. I thank God that He doesn't go ahead and say, well, you just try to figure it out. You're in a little bit of a struggle here. I thank God He doesn't go ahead and do that. He gives us a way to make things good and strong and good for us. He loves us. I thank God that He's with us every day and every hour. I thank God He's a 365 day a year Savior. Amen. I thank God that I serve a risen Savior. I thank God He's alive this morning. I know He cares about what I'm going through and what you're going through. I know that He cares about your burden that you may be carrying this morning, and you wonder, will this burden ever be lifted? I know that He cares about every need that we have. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, be the last part of that verse, I will never leave you or forsake you. Boy, I thank God we have a friend like that. I thank God that even when I am grieving like these ladies and the apostles and the disciples were grieving, I thank God that Jesus, that God the Father, behind the scenes, He was busy ministering to their heavy hearts. You know what? You might have a heavy heart this morning, but you know what? God knows all about it. Amen? And you know what? You can run to God every single moment, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and God knows all about it. And the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. You can just run to Him any single time. You know what? Sometimes your spouse won't understand what you're going through. Sometimes your friends may not understand. Job, when he was going through the struggles and so forth, he had the friends come by, and the Bible says that Job said they were physicians of no value. You know, sometimes people don't totally understand, and maybe those that are closest to you, you want them to understand, but they don't really know. But let me just say this. We serve a living Savior today. He's in the world today. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. You know what? Jesus knows all about it. You can run to Him anytime. You can run to Him any place. You might be heavy-hearted as you're driving down the road, and you can pull over beside on the curbside there and just cry out to God. It doesn't matter where you are. Hey, you know what? Jesus knows all about it. I thank God. Boy, I thank God that He ministers to our hearts in our time of need. Boy, just think for a moment what God the Father went through. You know, just think about it now. Now, I got to think about God the Father a moment. As I was preparing this, you know, He sent His only Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, the Bible says. You know what? Think of a father for just a second. Think of His position for just a second. He sent His only Son to go through the pain, the torture, all of the things that went on the cross. You understand that His earthly ministry, how He was misunderstood. You know, God the Father saw that. I think of what He went through sending His Son to leave heaven, leaving that heavenly home, leaving His side, if you will, to come to earth, to be born in a manger, to have a ministry where He was misunderstood in the pains of the cross. Yes, God knew it was His plan that He would go ahead and rise again, but I just think, I just wonder if God the Father must have cringed when He went ahead and He saw His Savior go through everything He went through. Just think about the love of a daddy to a son. I couldn't imagine my son going through it. I couldn't imagine my son going through hell on earth. I couldn't imagine that. But you know what, just think for a moment, but even when all that was happening, you know what, God still stayed busy. He still ministered to the hearts of the people in the midst of their perplexity and distress. He moved in several ways to encourage their hearts. Even when he was witnessing his own son, even when he had to go ahead and turn his back, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He turned his back on his own son. You know, through it all, he was busy behind the scenes encouraging the hearts of these sad believers. You know, for instance, a few things he did during this time. He rolled the stone away from the tomb, not to let Jesus escape, but to allow them to go ahead and look in that Jesus did exactly what he promised. Boy, you know what? Them ladies, I can imagine. Oh, yeah, they were perplexed. They were shocked. They didn't know what was happening. In John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene, the account there, she says, they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they laid him. Just let me go ahead and have him back. She was all concerned. I could see the perplexity. But God went ahead and encouraged their hearts by rolling that stone away so they could take a peek in. He sent an angelic messenger with the good news that Jesus was alive from the dead. Never the world has the world heard a message like that one before. And it, let me tell you something, it still reverberates today through the halls of time, and it will through eternity, that Jesus Christ is alive. Boy, that ought to bless our hearts today. Boy, that ought to encourage you today. You know, my Jesus isn't hanging on a cross today. You know what? There's a lot that still got him hanging on a cross. But let me tell you something. My Bible says, that Bible that you got there in your lap, let me tell you something. The Bible says that he was buried. Guess what? He didn't stay there, but he rose again. I thank God. Boy, I thank God that he's alive. Amen. Boy, he offered a word of encouragement for Peter, who had denied him. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. I'm just going to read a verse here. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, and he, as he said unto you. Now, you know, I got thinking about that. You know what? He told the ladies to go back. Mark chapter 16. He told the ladies to go back. Tell the disciples what went on. But you know what? In Mark's account, he goes ahead and he says, make sure you tell Peter too. There's just, boy, that them two words, and Peter, just stick out to me. You know, you think about it. Peter, Jesus had already told him that, you know, you're going to deny me three times. He'd already gone ahead and you know, he went ahead and denied Christ. You know, during the darkest hour of Jesus' life, if you will, when his apostles, when his disciples should have gone ahead and been there for him, Peter, he went ahead and denied, did what Jesus had already told him. You're going to go ahead and deny me three times before the morning. And then, you know what, as they took Jesus away, you know, the Bible says that Peter followed afar off. He didn't want to be recognized with Jesus, if you will. He didn't want to be known by men that he had known Jesus Christ, if you will. He warmed himself by the fire, the Bible says, by the devil, with the devil's crown and so forth. And the Bible also says that when they took Jesus away, he looked back. Jesus went ahead and looked back as they hauled him away. And the Bible also says that Peter, he wept bitterly. You know what? That look, I think, when Jesus went ahead and saw Peter not want to be part of Jesus, followed himself afar, warmed himself with the world's fire, went ahead and mocked him. Let me tell you something. There's a lot about Peter here that, you know, let me just say this. Had somebody ever done that to us, be very easy to write them off, wouldn't we? You know what I mean? You know, be very easy to. But I like this. Look at the grace of Almighty God. He tells the ladies, Mark chapter 16, 7. You see the empty tomb. You go back and you tell the disciples what went on. But by the way, Peter is going to need this encouragement too. Peter's going to need to know this. Don't you leave out Peter. You know what? A lot of things happen behind the scenes. Boy, you know, God was busy at work. He was busy with a ministry, if you will, of encouragement. He met Mary Magdalene outside the tomb in John chapter 20. Boy, Mary had a great love for the Master. And he met there and encouraged her there. And he left a message for his followers inside the tomb. Turn to John chapter 20 real quick. John chapter 20. I want you to recognize this real quick. He left a message for his followers in the tomb. Here's John's account of our story today. John chapter 20. Get there. I didn't mark it. I'm going to read a few verses here, verses 5 through 8. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. The clothes that Jesus was buried in, the grave clothes, if you will, they were lying there. And then, verse number 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Now there's something about that napkin. You know what? The clothes that Jesus was buried in lie there, but the napkin was wrapped or folded in a place all by itself. I checked this out this week, and boy, this just blessed my heart. I hope it will yours. The Oriental custom of the napkin. When a man with servants was eating a meal, he would use his napkin to signal them during the course of the meal. If he left the table and wadded up his napkin, it meant he was finished and he would not be back. Now, I should wad up my napkin more often and leave the table and not ever come back. Amen? Figure it out, you know? All right? Okay, amen. You with me? But follow along here. Okay, I'll say this again. He would use a napkin to signal them during the course of the meal, and he'd wad it up, his napkin. It meant that he was finished and he would not be back. If, however, he neatly folded the napkin, it told his servants that he was stepping away for a moment, but he would be back. Think about this for just a moment. The clothes, the napkin, it was folded. I believe that the word wrap there means it was folded. It was neatly. I like this. Jesus is telling his disciples, listen to me, I may be out of sight right now, but I'm coming back. Boy, I love that. You know, listen to me. You know, maybe our faith is blinded a little bit. Maybe we're just don't see the way or whatever the case may be. But let me just go ahead and stop and say this. Jesus may not be in sight right now, but you can dead sure believe what he says right here. He's a coming back. Boy, you know what? I thank God for the ministry of encouragement, even through, if you will. I think even a dark time for God the Father witnessing all this. But you know what? He went ahead and he ministered to the heavy hearts. You know, much more happened during that morning, but let me just go ahead and quickly say this. For us, about 2,000 plus years from that morning, the message still has not changed. We still need to hear the great news of the Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection. We still need to hear it. I don't know about you, I just, even throughout the year, even if it's non-resurrection day, if you will, you know what, every day ought to be resurrection day, amen? We ought to just know and understand, we ought to just get it down that Jesus just didn't die, but he rose again. And boy, that always blesses me, and it still needs to be preached today. It has not changed today. We still need to understand what Jesus went through to save our souls from hell. We need the cross. We need his shed blood. You know, I can't preach a message like this without thinking about what Jesus did on that cross. He was tried falsely. Some of his own men wouldn't even stand with him, as we talked about. Another prisoner who deserved death, Barabbas, was released. The cat of nine tails across his back. Think about it. The book of Isaiah says, after they finished with him, with that cat of nine tails, you couldn't even tell he was a man. But Jesus went ahead and suffered for us. He was spat upon. You think about it. How disgusting and how dirty that is. He had his beard plucked out. That's painful. You men who have a beard and you just start pulling it a little bit. You know, you just go ahead. I challenge you, just pull it a little bit and just think. And you just pull it. Pull it pretty hard. That's what Jesus went through. That crown of thorns. The mockery, the hate. The nails in his hands and feet. The carrying up, carrying that heavy cross up Calvary. Think of his weakened state at that time. They went ahead and they threw that cross on his back. The rejection he felt on that cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said every drop of his blood, had he not gone ahead and done that. Had he gone ahead and called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free, there'd not be any hope for you and me this morning. But I thank God that he didn't go ahead and call 10,000 angels. I'm glad that he didn't go ahead and allow them angels to go ahead and set him free. You know what? Because of that cross, because of that burial, and because 3 days later he rose again. You know what? We have hope today, and we have freedom today. All this he did for our salvation. He's alive today. He's our hope. You know, the devil thought he won. But up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah! Christ arose. Boy, that excites me this morning. Boy, that ought to excite us this morning. Boy, you know what? Let me just stop and say this. Every day ought to be resurrection day. Had he not gone ahead and died and was buried and he rose again, you know, because he gave us life and he gives it to us more abundantly. Amen. But you know, the greatest life is a Christian life. Well, I challenge you here today. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, boy, make today that day of knowing him. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. My friend, do you know him today? Boy, does he live in your heart today? Oh, it was a morning of solemn reflections. It was a morning of startling revelations. It was a morning of stunning realizations. Boy, as the disciples in verses 36 through 43, you can read it later, but as the disciples were hiding in the upper room out of fear, they thought the same death was going to come upon them. But something happened. Something happened that was miraculous. Jesus, who died just 3 days before, showed up. The Bible says there that they were scared. They were affrighted, the Bible says. You know, they thought they saw a spirit. They thought they saw a ghost. Now think about it. They thought, I understand their grief. I understand their fear. You know, now they're sitting up in the upper room. They're hiding. They're fearful. And if they go out in public, surely they're going to go ahead and be taken and hung on a cross just like Jesus did. You know, they felt hopeless up in that upper room. They felt like all hope was gone. Jesus, they never grasped the message. They heard it, but they just never got it. And now they thought Jesus was gone, but something miraculously happened. Jesus showed up. Let me just stop and say this. Has Jesus showed up in your life? You know what? You may feel like there's no hope this morning. You may feel like that all hope is gone. I don't know. You've got all these doubts. You've got all these fears. But let me tell you something. Boy, things change. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. When Jesus showed up to these disciples, boy, they were relieved. You're here this morning. You don't know Jesus as Savior. You know, why don't you allow Jesus to show up this morning in your heart? Why don't you understand that you're a sinner? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why don't you understand there's a price on sin? And the Bible teaches that price is hell, for the wages of sin is death, and death. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. But realize that Jesus, he paid that price. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I urge you here this morning. If you're here this morning, you're empty this morning. You just feel like all hope is gone. Why don't you allow Jesus to show up? I guarantee you right now the Holy Spirit's working on your heart's door. Why don't you make this a glorious morning? Amen. Just like the morning we're preaching about. Oh, what a morning. Why don't you make this another glorious morning in your life? You're here today. You don't know Christ. Why don't you say, hey, today I'm going to go ahead and ask Jesus come into my heart and save me. Boy, but let me move on. I got on a rabbit trail there, but it was very, very important. But he showed up with a message for the disciples there in the upper room. He showed them the nail prints in his hands and feet to prove that he was indeed the Son of God. He offered them to touch him, and he sat down to eat with them, the Bible says, and the disciples couldn't believe it. Till this moment, they went ahead and they realized Jesus is alive. It seemed too good to be true to them. They were beside themselves. They were filled with joy and happiness and in awe that their master was alive and with them again. My friend, Jesus is alive. Boy, this is what needs to happen in our world today. Well, we need to understand that Jesus, he died on that cross, he was buried, and he rose again. Men need to realize that Jesus is more than just a baby in a manger bed. They need to realize that he's not just a fella that got himself crucified on a cross. Men need to realize that this is more than just a story in an old book. Men need to understand that he is alive. Men need to understand that he is real. And the only hope for a missing in eternity in hell is that he is the only hope for eternity in heaven. If you want to miss hell today, he's the only hope. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Boy, we need to get back to understanding that again. We need to understand that it's not by our works, but by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Understand that it is a free gift to you because of Jesus went ahead and he cried on that cross, it is finished. Everything's been done. He was put into that tomb. He rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father today. And one of these days, you know what? God the Father is going to say, you know, it's time to go get our children. Would you go? Would you go? Jesus is the only hope. Boy, we need to understand it's not by our works. We need to understand it's not by our church attendance, though it's important for Christian growth, amen? The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Boy, every time the church doors are open, you ought to be there. The Bible says so, but it's not by a sacrament. It's not by a priest or a pope or a pastor or a minister. It's not by a good word or deed. It's not by a religion, but eternal life is only by a relationship. It's a relationship with a Savior who loved you so much that he was willing to go ahead and take your sin debt on that cross because he loves you. Who is Jesus to you this morning? I'm almost through. But who's Jesus to you this morning? Is he just a story on a page in a book? Or is he real in your heart? You see, knowing about Jesus and what he did will not save your soul. Let me say that again. Just knowing about this wonderful, wonderful story or account of the resurrection and that he died on the cross, just knowing about Jesus and what he did will not save your soul. Just having the head knowledge about the Savior will not save your soul, but you must have the heart knowledge. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy heart the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Who is Jesus to you today? If you're here today, you have the head, you've heard about it, you know it, but has it gone from here to here? You know what's sad is so many people will go ahead and miss heaven by about 6 or 8 inches. They've heard it all. They got it all up here. They got it all up in their mind. They know what to do. But it never got down to here. Boy, I hope that's not you today, my friend. Boy, you know what? You want to be saved this morning. The Bible says, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know it this morning. You don't have to sit here and say, I think. No, the Bible says you can know it. You can know it, but you got to understand a few things. And I went through it a moment ago. Number one, you got to understand you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Understand there's a price on sin, and the Bible says, and Scripture says, the Word of God says, that price is hell, which is a place of fire, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand you're a sinner, there's a price on sin, but you know, as we talked about all morning long, Jesus, he paid the price. He paid it for you. Boy, if you're here, don't know one, won't you just come forward and just trust Jesus and ask him to come into your heart and save you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. My question is, who is Jesus to you? What's your answer to it? Is Jesus your Savior, Or is it just somebody you know about? What's the answer? Boy, if you're here today, won't you make it another, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, won't you make it another glorious morning? We're talking about the most glorious morning of all, the resurrection. But won't you make it another glorious morning if you're not saved this morning and trust Jesus as your personal Savior? It was a morning of solemn reflections, of startling revelations, of stunning realizations, but it was also a morning of spiritual repercussions. As they ate at that first resurrection morning, Jesus told his disciples that the Father's plan simply was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, I just kind of close with this thought that's true today. You see, if we're not careful, we'll get, well, the message for them to go ahead and preach the gospel to every creature, it was for them to disciple. We're a disciple of Christ today, amen? On our way to heaven. You know what? It's not just a pastor called message, go ye into all the world. It's not just a deacon called message to go ye into all the world. It's not just a Sunday school teacher called message to go ye into all the world. You know what? It's an all call message. That means every single one of us who are saved and on our way to heaven, boy, you know what? We have we shoulder a responsibility to go tell people about Jesus. You know what? Every single one of us here this morning knows somebody that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Could it be a neighbor? Could it be a mama? Could it be a daddy? Could it be a friend? Could it be a coworker? I've had the privilege before I was in the ministry, I've had the privilege of leading many coworkers to the Lord on a break time. You know, we all have that responsibility. Boy, you know what? We need to fulfill that responsibility. We ought not shirk that responsibility. Bible says it's a command. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 tells us we need to go. Matthew 16, 15 tells us that we need to go. Right here in this chapter tells us that we need to go. When Jesus arose, you know, some old enemies. When Jesus arose from the dead, some old enemies were conquered that day. Some old enemies. Death was conquered forever. The child of God may die physically, but our soul has been saved and we're going to live forever in heaven. Death was conquered. Hell was conquered for all of mankind. We do not have to go there in a place called hell, but when one trusts Christ as Savior, hell was conquered, you know, by Jesus Christ. It's already been done. The grave was conquered. Sin was conquered. Satan was defeated. You know, the old devil thought he had him. I can see, boy, when the devil went ahead and he viewed the Savior going through the cat of nine tails and everything and being hung on that cross. Maybe he's sitting back there. I don't know. I just go ahead and make the Bible come to life. Sitting in his rocker, kind of filing his nails. He says, I got it. I won. You know, I can see the old devil perhaps thinking he won, sitting back when Christ was put to death, saying, I win, Satan. No, I'm just going to say, Satan, you lose. When Christ cried out, it is finished. Hey, Satan, you lose. Satan heard the foundations of the world crack at that time. 3 days later, when Christ arose, Satan began to witness the total destruction of his plan and scheme. And he saw the power broken and himself judged. Guess what? He was defeated forever. Satan, you thought when he was hung on that cross, you thought you won, didn't you? You thought that when he was finally pronounced dead and buried in the tomb, you thought he won. You won, rather. But guess what, Satan? You lose. He was defeated forever. Oh, what a morning. Do you understand it? My friend, do you understand what a morning it was? Do you understand that because he lives, you and I can be saved by the almighty grace of God? Do you understand because he lives, we can have our sins washed away forever? Do you understand because he lives, we can go to heaven when we leave this world? Do you understand because he lives, the grave has no power over those who believe? Do you understand because he lives, eternal life is our present possession? Do you understand because he lives, one day we too will live with him in the heavenly city, in my Father's house of many mansions? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you understand because he lives, I'll never have to take a step in this world all by myself? You know what? Think about that. We're not alone this morning. You know what? We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Do you understand because he lives, there's hope, there is help, and there is a home awaiting for us in eternity? Do you understand because he lives, I am alive? Do you understand that? Do you understand? Because he lives, my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Do you understand? Because he lives, my name is written forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you understand that because he lives, God is my Father? Do you understand? Because he lives, sin has no more dominion over me. Because he lives, I'm saved forever. It's a gift of God. Oh boy, the list could go on forever until we have exhausted all the vocabulary and language of men. But what we need this morning is to understand he lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what men say, you know what, tomorrow you're going to go out there and the world thinks, oh, he's, why bother? Why bother with church? Why bother with reading your Bible? He's gone. He's dead. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive today. Do you know Christ? Do you understand that he is who he's claimed to be? He died, he buried, he rose again. Do you understand he can lift you up out of the muck and the mire of sin, set your feet upon a rock, and establish your goings? My friend, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. You know what? Because he is a risen Savior, you know what? You can know him personally today. And if you don't know him, boy, I urge you this morning. If you're unsaved, you don't know Jesus as Savior, won't you make this, oh, what a morning for you. But what a morning it was back there a long time ago. Hey, Christian friend, here today, you know you're on your way to heaven. Do you really understand that you serve a risen Savior? And if you come to that understanding that he lives, well, what more could you do for him? After all, Jesus did so much for us. Think of everything he gave to us, his life. And because of his life, we have eternal life. If you're here today, Christian friend, you know you're on your way to heaven, but maybe you could step up to the plate a little bit more. Maybe because of Resurrection Sunday, because of Resurrection Day, you can understand that there's something more I can do. I can read more Bible. I could pray more. I could be in church more. I could perhaps serve in a ministry. I could maybe drive a bus. I could maybe work on a bus route. I could maybe teach a class, whatever the case may be. I could maybe sing in the choir. They did a great job this morning. But you know what? Christian friend, you serve a risen Savior. Won't you go ahead and, because he is risen, why don't we rise to the occasion? I challenge you. Rise to the occasion and say, God, I can do more. I can do more. Again, there are many wonderful mornings that I mentioned to you earlier in the Bible. Boy, all kinds of wonderful mornings that you can read about. But guess what? There's nothing more wonderful than the morning we preached about. Nothing. And there's not ever going to be another morning like that as long as we're alive. Because Resurrection Day, who can compete with that? Amen. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me enough to die on that cross to take all of my sin debt. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even though I am a man of shortcomings at times, that I can come to you and I can confess my sin daily, because you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. As a child of God, we have that wonderful relationship. I thank you for loving me, dying on the cross for me, being buried, and you rose again. You're alive this morning. I pray maybe our memories would be jogged and realize just how good a God we serve. I pray, God, that maybe as a child of God this morning, our memories, our lives would be maybe challenged enough to say, you know what, I could step up more. I serve a risen Savior. He's done so much for me. Why? I think I could do a little bit more. I think I could make a couple steps ahead. I think I could maybe read a little more Bible. I think I could maybe serve. I think I could do that. But maybe there's someone here today. They don't know you as Savior. They don't know the joy of what it's like to be a Christian and on their way to heaven. I pray, dear God, today would be the day of their salvation. I pray they wouldn't put it off. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I have all the head knowledge of what you preached about. I know it. Very simple and very plain and simple message. I've heard Jesus died, buried, rose. I know, but I don't have it in my heart. If you're here today and you'd be honest, and I would not embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but why don't you decide that this morning is going to be, oh, what a morning for you. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, why don't you just decide today, I'm not going to put it off anymore. But preacher, would you at least pray with me about the matter? Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but today I want to go ahead and settle that thing, and I just want you to at least pray for me, and I'm going to raise my hand because I want you to pray for me. I will not name you by name. I will not point you out in any way, shape, or form, but would you say, preacher, that's me. Would you please pray with me? That's anybody at all. Anybody at all. Here's my hand. Anybody. Maybe here today. Christian. Maybe here today. Maybe the realization of all that Jesus did for you kind of challenged you. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I want you to pray with me. You know, I realize there's more I can do. I serve a risen Savior, and I think, you know what? I think because of all that he's done for me, you know what? I think I could step it up a little bit more. I think there's something that I could do. I was challenged this morning, preacher, I'm going to raise my hand. I want you to pray with me about it. Again, I won't go ahead and call you by name, but if you say, preacher, I want you to pray with me about this matter of just serving the Lord, about this matter of just getting busy for God and just staying in my place and keep on pressing on and keep on being faithful to him. I want you to just pray with me about this matter. That's me. Anybody at all? Here's my hand. Anybody? Several hands. Anybody else? Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Dear Jesus, you saw the hands. Now you know the hearts. Now, Holy Spirit, you do the work. The message was preached the very best I knew, Lord. I gave what I could, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, now you do the work. You've been working all morning long. We thank you for all that we've heard. Thank you for the singing, for all that we heard. Now, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you move? Would you go ahead and save perhaps that lost soul that's not saved? Would you encourage that Christian that needs encouragement? Would you just challenge and do your work? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. Maybe here today, you raised your hand a while ago. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to do business with God. Maybe you just want to come forward and just say, again, God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for your son, Jesus, dying and raising from the dead. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. If God spoke to your heart some way this morning, won't you go ahead and move as a piano plays? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. That's it. That's it. Take the time that's necessary. God spoke to your heart this morning. Won't you just come forward? Just lay it out to God. God wants to hear you. He wants to hear from you this morning. All right. Thank you for being here this morning. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon with your family. I'm sure many of you have different gatherings that you're going to attend. And let's be mindful of what today's all about. Amen. My favorite Sunday of the year is this day. I love every Sunday, don't misunderstand, but a day that we just get to set aside and think about the resurrection and understand Jesus is alive and well today. Amen. Amen. I thank you for being here. Brother Ron, would you come forward and close in prayer? I'm in choir. There is no choir tonight. Okay, spend time with your family today. But if you could be here tonight, we will go ahead and sing Because He Lives tonight with the children. If you could be here tonight, I know there's some workers that were downstairs that did not get to hear that and hear some of their children singing. So if you could be here this evening as well. Wonderful service to attend. If you could be here tonight, be great. Brother Ron, would you close in prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you are alive, Lord, that you're not dead, you're not in the grave, that we can go to your word and we can hear you speak to us, Lord. I just thank you for all that you do for us, for dying for us, for saving us, for leading us, guiding us. I thank you for this church, for our pastor, for teenagers, Lord, for the buses, for all that's here, Lord. I thank you. I pray you be with us as we depart now. Bring us back safe tonight and pray for a good week. In Jesus' name, amen.